Thursday to you, Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand you are beginning with the All-Africa Games.
Kim, action is continuing at the 11th All-Africa Games in Congo, Brazzaville. Heading into Thursday's various sports competitions, Egypt and South Africa are comfortably on top of the medals table. The Egyptians had won a total of 93 medals, 31 gold, 31 silver, and 31 bronze. The South Africans had 67 medals, 29 gold, 22 silver, and 16 bronze. Nigeria had reason to cheer Wednesday when it came to All-Africa Games football. Nigeria's men's team beat defending All-Africa Games champion Ghana 2-0 on second-half goals by Junior Ajayi and Kingsley Sakari. And Nigeria's women's team scored its second consecutive victory, topping Tanzania 3-0. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Nigerian striker Desire Oparanozie, who played for her country's senior team, the Super Falcons, at this year's Women's World Cup in Canada. Desire scored 2 goals against Tanzania, and after her hat trick against host Congo Brazzaville in Nigeria's opening match, a 5-1 victory, Desire is the tournament's leading scorer with 5 goals. In another women's result Wednesday, Ivory Coast edged the host Congolese 1-0 on a goal by Rita Akafu in the 38th minute. The Ivorian women and the Nigerian women each have the maximum 6 points from 2 matches in Group A, and they're through to the semifinals in Brazzaville. Meanwhile, in All-Africa Games swimming, 2-time Olympic champion Kirsty Coventry won Zimbabwe's first medal, a gold, in the women's 100 meters backstroke event. Mary Cloppers is the president of the Zimbabwe Aquatic Union. In a telephone interview from Harare with reporter Marvelous Malanga Nyahuye, she said Zimbabweans are thrilled with Coventry's swimming success.
We're very excited about it. She's on track. For us, that just means that she's on track. She's achieving what she needs to be achieving. And we are just behind her 100% in her request to go and conquer at Rio again.
What impact do you think this gold medal will have, especially for those that are thinking of taking up swimming?
Kirsty is idolized in Zimbabwe. I mean, and this is just going to bring her achievements and the possibilities for any future stars to the fore again. So it is fantastic for our sport. And we owe a lot to Kirsty for her contribution to, in that way.
Are you then preparing a lavish spread for her when she does complete her tour in Brazzaville? Or what have you got lined up for her?
She's actually going straight back to America, straight back into her training routine. So she won't be coming back via Zimbabwe. But whenever she is in Zimbabwe, we know that she's here and she's treated very well.
That's Mary Cloppers, the president of the Zimbabwe Aquatic Union. And Mary was talking with reporter Marvelous Malanga Nyahuye from Harare. Our African football guru, David Legg, is looking at the recent 2017 Nations Cup qualifiers played all across the continent. There were 25 matches spanning all 13 qualifying groups. In Group F, Morocco scored a 3-0 road victory over Sao Tome and Principe, and the Cape Verde Islands beat Libya 2-1 in a match played in Cairo, Egypt. The game was played in the Egyptian capital because of the unstable security situation in Libya. David, what's your take on Group F?
This one is looking like a Cape Verde-Morocco battle. Both have got 6 points, and their two rivals have got no points. The Sao Tome result was very predictable. Sao Tome losing 7-1 away to Cape Verde on match day 1. So they were clearly a side battling at this level of football. Morocco went to the island state off the west coast, and 3 goals late in the first half from Amrabat El Arabi. And El Arabi, of course, that name we mention very often when we're doing our European roundups. He plays in the Spanish La Liga, and he's a consistent scorer. And also Dirar, they were the 3 Moroccan scorers. Quite a lot of drama in Cairo between Libya and Cape Verde. It finished 2-1, but the Libyans will feel, of course, that it should have been 3-2 to them, because they were awarded 2 penalties and fluffed both of them. Now, it's not uncommon for one penalty to be missed, but certainly unusual for a team to be awarded two penalties, two different penalty takers, incidentally, and neither of them managed to score. Cape Verde took the lead early in the second half. Libya equalised with 4 minutes left. And I'm sure the Mediterranean Knights, as they're known, felt that they would now get at least a draw. But unfortunately for them, Mendes popped up in the final minute to snatch a 2-1 away victory for Cape Verde. So Cape Verde and Morocco, 6 points each. Libya and Sao Tome, no points yet. That situation will change, Sonny, on match day 3 because Sao Tome and Libya are paired. And the big one, Cape Verde versus Morocco.
We turn to Group G now, David. In Dar es Salaam, Tanzania and Nigeria play to a scoreless draw. And in N'Djamena, Egypt, big 5-1 winners over Chad. How does this group look, David?
Yes, Sonny, I noticed you put an emphasis there on the word big. I don't think even the most partisan supporter of the Pharaohs, while hoping that Egypt would win in Chad, ever imagined 5-1. That, Sonny, was quite a scoreline. And what that indicates to me is that the Pharaohs are back in business. After winning a record 3 consecutive Cup of Nations titles, they failed to qualify for the last 3 tournaments, and that for Egypt was deeply humiliating. How can you go from conquering Africa 3 times in a row to not even making the finals of the Cup of Nations? Various reasons, Sonny, the political situation in Egypt, the security situation in Egypt, the retirement of some great Egyptian footballers, including the one and only Mohamed Aboutrika. These were contributing factors. And a lot of violence at some Egyptian football matches. It meant that crowds were banned. It meant that clubs had far less revenue. And therefore, the standard of players they were able to sign dropped. So there were certainly contributing factors to the lowering of standards in the national team. And we saw that very strongly in the playoffs for the 2014 World Cup when Ghana hammered Egypt by 6-1 and basically rendered the return match meaningless. But now Egypt looked like they're on the road to recovery. In their first match, they hammered the Tanzanians by 3-0. Then they go to Chad. Bassem Morsi. Now, we have mentioned his name before. He plays for Zamalek. He's a young, bearded striker. He scored a hat-trick, and there were also goals from Salah and Karaba. Now, Karaba is a name I mentioned fairly recently, Sonny, and I'm going to repeat what I said on your show. Watch out for this player. He, to me, is a future star, not only of Egypt, but of Africa. He could even, dare I say it, be the new Aboutrika. He's a midfielder, and he scores an awful lot of goals. Chad, their one goal came late in the first half. They trailed 3-1 at halftime, and I guess they were wishing for the final whistle long before it actually sounded. Nigeria, on the other hand, disappointed in Tanzania. They were held to a 0-0 draw. This was the first game in charge for their new Super Eagles coach, Sunday Alisi. And they started promisingly. They used the width to attack the Tanzanian defense, and there were a couple of close shaves. But then an unlikely hero emerged for the Nigerians, and he was 29-year-old Carl Ikemi. Now, Carl Ikemi was brought into the squad as an understudy for Vincent Enyema, but Vincent Enyema became unavailable both as goalkeeper and captain. So Ikemi took over between the sticks and produced a series of very fine saves. One of his parents is Nigerian. He was born in England, and he plays for second-tier club Wolverhampton Wanderers. So an interesting situation has now developed, Sonny, in this battle, this big battle between Egypt and Nigeria, in that Egypt have got a maximum 6 points, Nigeria have got 4, Tanzania have got 1, and Chad have got 0. And come March 23 to 26, it'll be Chad against Tanzania in what I suspect will be the first part of a battle for third place. And then there isn't going to be a bigger qualifier in the 2017 competition. It's the 2 games in Nigeria and Egypt between the Super Eagles and the Pharaohs. Can't wait for those, Sonny, even though it's still a few months away.
In fact, David, those Egypt-Nigeria matches are more than 6 months away. At the end of March 2016, Nigeria will host the first one And then the next qualifier will be in Egypt. And our African football guru, David Legg, will be back on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports with more soccer-licious commentary about the 2017 Nations Cup qualifying competition.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. And this reminder for our VOA basketball fans, on Friday, the Congolese giant Dikembe Mutombo will be officially enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame, located in the northeastern U.S. city of Springfield, Massachusetts. In New York City, the women's semifinals are in the spotlight later Thursday night at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York. Top seed and world number one Serena Williams continues her quest for a fourth consecutive U.S. Open trophy and a calendar year Grand Slam when she plays the Italian Roberta Vinci. And in the second semifinal, another Italian, Flavia Panetta, is matched against Romania's Simona Halep. The men's semifinals are Friday in New York. Top seed and world number one Novak Djokovic of Serbia will play defending champion Marin Cilic of Croatia. And the second semifinal will be an all-Swiss encounter between Roger Federer and Stan Wawrinka. I watched Federer's 87-minute demolition of Frenchman Richard Gasquet on Wednesday night, and based partly on that masterful performance, I'm picking Roger Federer and Serena Williams to lift the trophies this weekend in New York.